podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello everyone, good evening, welcome to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, the FPL narrative, I'm going to use that word
already?
So much tonight.
10 seconds in.
The FPL narrative was written for this week, wasn't it? If you'd have said to me, Sam, who is going to be the top for XG underachievers so far this game week, you would absolutely have all the money you've got on it being Dominic Solanke at 0.89, missing a penalty in a double game week where everyone's captained him or triple captained him.
Has anyone seen my FPL points this week?
What the hell have we just been through, guys, in this last week? Weekend. If you've got any points, congratulations. It's basically, have you got Sun or have you not got Sun? That's it.
I've not got.
That's it. Because outside of that, there's been absolutely no points for anyone. Even Sam, we sat here last Sunday and I think we said it on the... No, we haven't sat here for a little while, actually. So nice to be back. Nice to be back for a start, right? That's the first thing we should say. First live stream we've done in a few weeks. So thanks, guys, for bearing with us. We've had holidays. I've been away. Loads of stuff going on. So it's really nice to be back. But on our Ohana podcast for our patrons during the week, and I think even the week before, we said, don't get rid of Areola. Because that's nailed on, that clean sheet. West Ham at home to Burnley.
Where's my clean sheet?
Absolutely nailed on. Areola clean sheet.
Where is it?
Why is it? Like, why are we trusting West Ham to keep clean sheets? They just don't keep clean sheets, do they?
Where's my Bournemouth clean sheet, Lee?
Where's the... Absolutely nailed on, that Bournemouth clean sheet.
Where's my Luton clean sheet, Lee?
I think we even went on Sky on Saturday and we were talking about state your case. I said Neto because I was just like, well, Sheffield United, the lowest goal scorers in the whole of the league. Get Neto. We're bringing in players like Zabanyi and we're bringing in like Kirkez. Like, who's bringing in Kirkez and Zabanyi?
Where's my Bowen attack and return?
What? I mean, yeah. What? It's like, what? What is going on? Absolutely.
Honestly, I feel like this is
unreal.
You've got to laugh. This is one of those weeks where you literally, it was when I looked at my team on Saturday, midway through the Arsenal game on Saturday evening, and Lee, you turned to me and you said something about, oh, I think it was Raptor. You were like, oh, Raptor's just tweeted he's on -8 or something for the week because he's taken a big hit. And then I was like, oh, that's funny, and then sort of laughed and then was like, oh, I'm sure it'll get better. And then I was like, hang on a minute, how many am I on? One. I was on one at that point because, like, I was on 5-4, and I was just like, okay, well, at least tomorrow.
Yes, it'll get better.
I've got a second half of Saka and Saliba.
Is your microphone on, by the way?
I don't know.
You're on mute. You've muted yourself, dear.
I haven't muted.
There we go. Hey, do you do podcasts for a living?
Shut up.
People in the chat going, can't hear Sam. Sam's mic's off. Or they couldn't hear you very well because they could hear you in my microphone here. But I have now turned Sam's microphone on, folks. You'll be pleased to hear. professional podcaster. I don't know. Hopefully that's better, guys.
I mean, to be honest, guys, that just about sums up this week, doesn't it?
Doesn't it just?
What was I saying? So I was thinking, and I remember saying to you, like, you know, I've still got a second half of Saka and Saliba. I'll probably get some points out of them too, you know. And then tomorrow, I got good players tomorrow. I've got Haaland and De Bruyne. I've got Bowen, who's got Burnley. I've got Areola. I mean, he's nailed on to get at least six.
Nailed on, clean
just
sheet.
Nailed on.
Yeah. Not to be, is it? Not to be.
I mean, who concedes two to Burnley? Who concedes two to Burnley? I'll tell you, Areola.
Areola. He can't concede two to Burnley. Guys, we're going to sift through the wreckage.
Can we just move on?
Well, I think we are going to quite quickly because...
It's all on Cole Palmer for me now.
Listen, that is a fair comment, right? We've got the Chelsea-Newcastle game coming up tomorrow night, Monday night.
Yeah.
We've got Bournemouth versus Luton coming up on Tuesday.
Bournemouth versus Luton. That is guaranteed to have something. That is going to be... So there's going to be no clean sheets for either of them.
Yeah.
But the goals are going to come from people that aren't the ones we've gone for in FPL. So it's going to be players like, I don't know, Tavernier or Tavernier or trying to think of a random Luton.
Zabanyi. That'd be pretty random.
Well, no, because people brought him in.
Yeah.
Their goals are going to come from random, as nobody's got.
Yeah.
Like the 0.0%.
It wasn't just, though, the Solanke penalty. I mean, that game was... I mean, I'm seeing some skull emojis from Tanky in the chat, right? You're absolutely right. It was... There's some shockers, like even in the Bournemouth game. But look outside, like Neto got injured, did he not?
Yeah, so
right, there's injuries all over the place. Kerkez hauled at half-time. Those of you that went for Kerkez, because I think when you're... And I was the same, I was looking at a Bournemouth defensive asset and I'm thinking, well, Zabanyi, probably pretty nailed on, but pretty boring. Kerkez, a little bit of fun. At least he looked attacking in the last sort of game or so when he's played and his heat map looked all right. So if you were the one of the people that went for Kerkez, fair play, because you've decided to go against the sort of general boring Zabanyi pick. You've gone for Kerkez. He gets booked and hauled at half-time. I mean, what is going on here?
Mickey van der Ven?
Van der Ven. Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going to ban somebody from the chat. Keep talking.
Mickey van der Ven. The thing is, I'd set up my team and I was thinking, right, we'll set up for 30, one transfer out of my free hit team and I'm set. And I'll go into more detail in a minute when we talk about Spurs, about why I didn't go for Son this week. Because it wasn't really about this week. It was more of a long-term thing.
Oh, I've accidentally put somebody in timeout that I shouldn't have done.
Who have you put in timeout?
You really do need to keep panning now. Hold on.
Well, hang on. What have you done?
I've put John Tyner in timeout. John, I'm so sorry. How do I undo that?
How did you get him out of the timeout?
He's here every week. I've just banned him.
What? Oh, my God. What? This live stream has basically become... Have you got him back?
I think I can put John in. I have to put him in a timeout now, but for like 10 seconds. So, John, you're hopefully going to be all right.
This
again
is
in 10
ridiculous.
Seconds. John, I apologise so much,
John. This live stream is worse than game week 28.
This is quite fitting for the game week, isn't it? I'm terrible. We've been away for 3 weeks. This is what happens. It goes to pot.
Have you forgot how to live stream?
I've literally
I can't mute my mic. I can't unmute my mic.
I put John Tyner, who's here every week. Like, I see his name in the chat
forever.
Every single week.
He's been here for years. I think he's been here since the beginning and you've banned him.
Sorry, John.
What had he done? What had he done to you? Absolutely nothing.
People are saying blue card because Lee's banned John. Oh, John's back. Here we go, John. He's just got really with a question mark. Sorry, John. What a nightmare.
How did you even manage to do
it? Because there's some bellend in the chat who's a bit spamming. So I decided, right, I've got to try and ban this guy or kick him out or whatever. And in doing so, I've kicked the wrong person out. And it's one of our faithful followers who's been following us more or less for 5 years away. Anyway, carry on. Where were you?
I was...
Andrew Yeezy, he's saying this stream's going well. It's like the OG stream.
Please don't knock on the door in a minute.
Walter's saying, please give us some Game Week 29 tips. I don't know if we've got any, Walter, to be honest. just getting the live, just getting John back online would be a bit of a win at the moment. George Day, what's going on? I don't know.
George, who knows? Actually knows? And by the way, I thought you might have started this live stream by going, welcome to all the FPL mums out there. Happy Mother's Day. No, forget
Happy
that.
Mother's Day. I was going to get to that until I banned some of our most loyal listeners.
Until you banned John and, slated whoever else it was that you slated.
Yes, happy Mother's Day to you and happy Mother's Day to all of the FPL mums out there that might be listening. Yes, absolutely.
The ones in the UK as well, particularly because it's Mother's Day here. I think it's not. We were having this conversation in the Slack earlier. It's not anywhere else in the world. It's just
a UK thing,
it's
isn't
it? It's just UK at the moment. Well, I don't know why everyone else seems to have it in the summer. I don't know why we have it in the winter when it's all rainy and miserable outside.
No idea.
But yeah, anyway, thank you. What was I saying?
I think we were talking about Kerkez and stuff like that.
When you, John...
And we were talking about the car crash.
I was talking about Mickey van der Ven and my game week plan for Son. So Mickey van der Ven going off. I mean, I'm more hopeful than I was at any other point with Mickey van der Ven when he's gone off injured, because he did walk off the pitch seemingly okay. And then he did come back on the pitch at the end of the game and got involved in the celebrations, which suggests that it's maybe a bit precautionary.
Yeah.
I don't need him now for 2 weeks anyway. So fingers crossed he's back for 30. But yeah, to be honest, game week 28, it's just a disaster. Have got the three of them to come again in the double. God, I mean, surely they do better. I mean, Solanke's got to do better than... Do you know, this was Solanke's worst ever return in FPL. In 123 matches.
It's incredible. And even if you went for someone like a Semenyo, right? There was a few people that were like, okay, well, I'll go a little bit again. I'll try and go Semenyo. Even he's up there for XG underachieve. He's in the top 10. I think he's eighth with 0.42. So everything about that game was incredible. Even, I think it's actually Uatara, I think is how you pronounce his name. Yeah. is the guy that comes on for Kirkez at half-time.
Yeah, he's the one that gets all
the
points.
He gets all the points and the goals and actually tops the game week for BPS with 41, with only, I say tops, only Son is ahead of him. So, listen, everything FPL double game week-wise went wrong in that Bournemouth game for us, didn't it? It was incredible. Yeah. It was absolutely incredible.
I mean, the Luton game weren't much better.
The Luton game wasn't much better. We will sift through the wreckage of what was game week 28, guys. But we will move quite quickly on to, obviously, our teams and how we're getting on so far. But game week 29 is nearly here, guys. We're nearly at game week 29, where there are only 8 teams playing. And I have to say, most of you guys, I'm sure, because you are here listening to us, you are an engaged FPL manager, so you will have at least a plan, right? Free hit or no free hit, wildcard or no wildcard, you will at least have a plan for game week 29.
Yeah.
This gives us an edge over literally most of the casual players in the game. I was at Max's football today, and one of the other dads turned to me, and he showed me his phone, and he was just like, "Oh, what? You're good at FPL." I was like, "Sometimes." "You're good at FPL. What am I going to do with this?" He showed me his face. Like, "What am I going to do with this?" He's got like 2 players.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, you've got your free hit." And it says at the top, "Free hit played game week 6 or something stupid, right? And I'm like, "Well, I don't know. You're going to have to take some hits, aren't you?" And he said, "Well, it's -4 for each hit." And I was like, "Yeah, it is. What have you not been planning?" I said, "You wait till you get to game week 34 when there's blah, blah, blah." So my point is, if you think it's tough at the minute, just know that over the next few game weeks, I'd like to think we're not going to get a repeat of what we've had at Bournemouth yesterday, right? We will win against the casual masses, surely.
Lee, I've been telling myself that for weeks now.
It's not happening, is it?
And it's not happening. And everything I do goes wrong. The only positives I have at the moment was the absolutely incredible result from Spurs today, which was just brilliant. And then Max's boys did well. Everything else football related this weekend just went in the mud. But let's talk about it.
Sorry, I am listening, but
what are you doing now?
There's some other nonsense going on in the chat. So I've done something quite unprecedented.
Oh, who have you made
a mod? Which I might regret. I've made Nigel the Crab a moderator of our stream.
I think that's a brilliant idea.
Nigel, you have the power to block whatever the hell is going on
thinking,
in the chat.
How the hell do I start blocking people?
There's all sorts of stuff going on in here, and I can't even follow it because I'm trying to have a conversation with you and deliver some interesting and intelligent FPL content.
Is it just Si that's modding?
Probably, yes. Could
give someone
probably.
Else some help. Who else is around?
Who else is it? I feel like John Tyner should have it. Just because
he might mute you.
Feel bad,
he might put you in timeout. Just
block me. That's it. He'll be like, "Right, cancel this stream. I've had enough." Who else is in?
Who else has been around for
a long time?
If you see one of the OGs in there, then give it to them.
We love and we trust Nigel, so he's in.
Yeah, but I feel sorry for him. He's got to deal with everyone.
He's just gone, "That guy's toast." So there we go. It's done. I've missed a couple of super chats, Sam, because honestly, the technology is failing us tonight and we've got Muppets in the chat.
Oh, it's Nigel as well that's talking.
And it is a Nigel chat. Thank you, Nigel, for the super chat and for the member chat. A member for 2 years. Yeah, I know, mate. The time's gone. When do I get my own room? Oh, well, you don't, but you become moderator. That's what happens. You pass the 2 year as a member mark, you become a moderator.
Who's Mark? Oh, no. You pass the 2 year mark.
What's happening? What's happening?
I just realised what you meant. I was like,
what's happening? Who's Mark? Who's Mark?
This stream is going to be one. Oh.
What I have to work with here, guys. This is unreal. It's absolutely unreal. Nigel's saying, not Mark, Nigel is, Simon is saying, "I took a -28 just because why not? You know me, it's my thing. Hope you enjoyed your time stateside." We do, mate. We did.
Can we go back there? It was a lot better than dealing with this.
Very much enjoyed
it. You're currently having to deal with.
Anyone called Mark in the chat is very welcome to ask us a question. Another super chat from Joseph. Who's Mark? Joseph Maloney, thank you, mate, for the chat. I can't stop laughing now. Shut up. Hi, Sam and Lee.
I should mute my mic now.
It was earlier. Put it back on mute. Happy Mother's Day, Sam, said Joseph Maloney.
Oh,
thank you, mate.
Joseph.
It's Mother's Day here in Ireland as well. There you go. Having a decent game week on a green arrow with 43.
Sorry.
Thanks to Son's return. Joseph, honestly, 43 this week, mate, is unreal. It's absolutely unreal. Very, very good. Very, very good. And we've had a further super chat from Polkit saying, hi, family. Hello, mate.
Oh, hi, Polkit.
Happy Mother's Day, Sam. The best part of this game is you guys. Ah, oh, hilarious you. Start to stream. You didn't mean it to be...
It
wasn't meant to be like this,
was it?
It wasn't meant to be like this. Hilarious start to stream for all but one person. Triple captain and hit likes, everyone. Yeah, thank you, guys. If for some reason you're enjoying the stream, I don't know why you would be, but if you are, then yeah, hit the like button.
The best thing about this is that Lee spent ages setting up the stream. I was doing other things, sorting out the kids. I came in, immediately moved everything around, and you just looked at me like, oh, great, here we go.
Unreal.
So it was kind of destined to be one of these streams today, I feel
unreal.
Like.
Me. The chat's saying, Nigel the saviour. Nigel's on fire. So there we go. I've made Nigel a moderator, and all is fine in the world, Sam. All is fine in the world. I did put this little slide together just to have a quick chat about, have we got... Just before we get to the FPL stuff, have we got the best title race in years?
The patrons in the Slack
are going, what's going on?
It's just John going, oh my God, this YouTube stream is a shambles. It's hilarious. Shambles. Who's Mark? Then he's tagged me in it.
Hashtag who's Mark? Let's get that trending. Best title race in years, Sam? Arsenal currently leading the way after an incredible run of form and the Kai Havertz header winning them the game at the weekend against Brentford. More on that in a second. Liverpool, Man City sharing the spoils this afternoon. 64 for Liverpool, 63 for City.
1 point between the top three.
1 point between the top three. None of them playing game week 29. So I put the ticker up there from game week 30 onwards. Clearly, game week 30's match between Arsenal and City is going to be big. But look at that. For the rest of the fixtures, there's a whole sea of blue there. One of the things I'm interested in, actually, is that all three teams have still got to play Spurs.
Well,
so we've got to play Spurs in 36 at Anfield. City have got to go to Spurs in 34 and Arsenal go to Spurs in 35. So certainly that 34-35, Spurs might have a say in this title race, mightn't they?
Look, if you can't be in the title race, be part of it.
Be part of it. Yeah, yeah, be part. Well, you're absolutely in the race for fourth. I mean, after today, we'll talk about that in just a second.
That, and those three matches that you've just mentioned come back to back. So it's I think it's Newcastle. And then these three games against the three potential champions elect.
Nice.
So we will have quite a role to play.
You will.
You know, when you look at the title race and the fixtures that you've got coming up, apart from City and Arsenal playing each other, the toughest match that all of you probably have in that period remaining is the game against Spurs. And so we, obviously...
Except I would say for their game against each other.
That's what
Arsenal
I said.
Oh, sorry, you said that. Okay.
Could you pay attention to what I'm saying, please?
Who's Mark?
I said, with the exception of their game against each other,
yes.
The rest of the games,
okay.
The best, the most difficult one, and of course for us, particularly with the result today, and if the game in hand when it gets rescheduled against Chelsea goes the way that I hope
yes.
that it
yeah,
will,
yeah.
Then we will find ourselves in fourth, and we will need to stay there, and you can't therefore go losing three games in a row. So Man City always struggle against us when they come to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. In the league, they've not even scored a goal against us. They've got that one in the FA Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
The Arsenal game is always absolutely nuts.
You never know what's going to
happen.
You
never know what's
totally.
Going on there. And
Spurs
actually, whenever we go...
Spurs will want to stick one on Arsenal as well in the title race, won't they? You'd like to think.
100% we want to stick one on them. And Spurs, when we come up to Anfield, is always a weird and wonderful game of nonsense, isn't it? Like, the FPL Family Derby always ends up being a bonkers one. So, yeah, it's going to be... Normally, I get a bit at this point in the season because somebody tends to be the obvious league winner. The relegation.
City running away with it or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
The relegation battle seems to be going one way and, you know, you're starting to lose clubs already. And you kind of go, well, they're relegated themselves. And maybe we've got that already with one. But it's definitely tighter at the bottom for the other teams. And it's so tight at the top and it's making for a brilliant end to the season because nothing's decided. The Champions League spots aren't decided. The title's not decided. Relegation's not decided. None of the European spots are decided. Everything's up for grabs. And that makes it so exciting. But it also means that in FPL, we are not yet at the stage where you go, well, these are the clubs that have got stuff to fight for. So these
exactly.
are the ones that we focus
yeah.
on.
There's a couple of teams on the beach, in my opinion. But we'll talk about
yeah,
them later,
that,
maybe.
Yeah, but that number is normally much greater.
Yeah, yeah.
There's still a lot of the mid-table teams that could make the European spots.
Yeah, it's all to play for. And I think that's why competitions like the Europa Conference League make it a little bit more interesting down the sort of 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th position, because all those clubs can still get into that competition if they wanted to.
And arguably, I'd say even like the top or the bottom half of the table could still get there if it goes well between now and the end of the season for them.
Who's your money on?
Liverpool.
Is it? You've been saying that all season, to be fair.
Yeah,
I'm
still there. I think I watched the game today, and the thing for me that really made a difference is that team today that you put out was not your best team. By
a long shot.
A country mile. Whereas Manchester City's, or thereabouts, was their strong.
Yeah.
Arsenal the same. So if you get your players back, which you're starting to with Salah coming back, that's going to make such a big difference to Liverpool. I think Liverpool's running is the nicest as well.
Okay. All right, well, we will discuss.
Somebody's probably going to drop out of it.
I think it's going to be tight between all three of us, you know.
So I don't think anyone will mathematically drop out of it. But whoever doesn't win that game between Man City and Arsenal, I think they'll find it tough.
Yeah, particularly when you look at Liverpool's next two. Brighton and Sheffield United at home.
Oh, well, Sheffield United score 5 in that one. Well, because, you know, no one's expecting
then
that.
Then it's a trip to Old Trafford, which we've got in the Cup, actually, coming up. And then we play them the same fixture in the league in 32. Palace at home. Before then, it gets a little bit tricky with away fixtures. But certainly 30-31. We probably at some stage, you know, this time next week, I guess, we'll be talking about how we're going to get Mo, Darwin, you know, others, McAllister maybe on the radar as well now. Although I guess he goes off of pens now that Salah's back. Brighton at home, and then Sheffield United at home, followed by Palace at home in 33. Look really good, don't they? Look really, really good.
Should have won it today. That was a pen, in my opinion, right at the death.
Well, listen, let's go to that then. Let's go and talk about these.
I've dropped my cup of tea, Lee. I got no tea left.
You're out of tea already. Goodness me, that is dire straits. Let's talk about the games then, and let's not dwell too long on game week 28 because it was such a car crash, and we've got to get on to free hits in game week 29.
In many ways,
I
actually think that it's not, and I don't mean this in a rude or disrespectful way, but there's not much value in talking about Liverpool and Man City because neither of you play next week.
Well, this is very true. It's very true. I did miss a quick super chat, or at least a member chat from Duncan. Hello, mate. Nice to see you. Hey, guys. Thanks for the Zoom. It's nice to see you on Zoom the other day, mate. Wildcard was looking great, and then Son today. Bang. Can I have a room? I'll bring the cat. He loved meeting Harry, he says.
More than welcome.
More than welcome, mate. Yeah,
we
it was nice to see
our
you on Zoom.
In the Zoom the other day.
Nice to see you on Zoom the other day, mate. Liverpool versus City, then 1-1. Like you say, let's honestly whiz through it because we ain't thinking about any of them for free hit. But we will be thinking of them this time next week when we go into game week 30, particularly Liverpool. But thoughts on the game?
It was a good game. I thought Man City were better.
A good game. I thought it was technically one of the best games I've ever watched. Sam, it was amazing. Do you not watch it? Or you were cooking a dinner for somebody? It was a good game. It was honestly a brilliant game. Brilliant, brilliant game where the two best teams, arguably in the world, were going at it. So
it's very passionate.
It was brilliant game. Great to watch. But yeah, you could say it's a good game.
It was a good game.
Yeah.
I thought Man City had the better of it in the first half. I thought Liverpool had the better of it in the second half. I thought it was a penalty at the death. I enjoyed it from what I watched. It was funny because the first half, there was a lot of... I was busy. We were going to get a takeaway for dinner tonight, and then I decided I didn't really fancy a takeaway, so I decided I was going to cook the dinner. So I was in the kitchen cooking dinner.
You were in the dinner.
And I came into the... As the second half kicked off, pretty much, I came in and I was like, I think I'll come and watch this with you. And as I sat down...
Pen.
Yeah. And you were like, keep going, come back in again every time.
It was a weird game because...
It was a weird one.
Despite it being one of the best games of the season, I thought it was an absolutely fantastic game. Both sides could have won. I mean, yes, I agree. Maybe it's my bias, but I thought it was a penalty at the end on McAllister.
Yeah. It's up here.
Doku. Doku's foot is incredibly high. I think anywhere else on the pitch, it's a foul.
Yeah.
But let's not forget that he himself also hit the post, inside of the post, you know, a centimetre either side, or, you know, the right side of the post. That's
Foden
a goal.
Foden did as well.
Foden's had one off his head, which he didn't know much about, hit the bar.
Yeah.
We've had other you know, opportunities. Diaz went through one-on-one, didn't he, and just sort of fluffed it, whereas he should have just slotted
twice
it.
Twice he should have done better.
Twice, arguably, yeah. So it honestly could have gone either way, but it was evident in the post-match interviews with both managers that both were reasonably happy, but both were also not happy, if that makes sense. Neither of them were happy with the point because both of them felt like they could have won, but easily both could have lost, right? So in the end, I think I think you have to say,
you could tell, though,
that one all's probably about right.
You can tell that it's a really, really good game when both managers are not happy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when both managers come out of it unhappy, you kind of know that it's been a good game of football to watch, particularly from a neutral perspective.
The one thing I was really encouraged by was, you're right, it certainly wasn't our first choice back four by any stretch of the imagination. And no, Kelleher was playing instead of Alisson.
Robbo wasn't there either, he was on the bench.
So you've got, what, Gomez at left back, you've got young Bradley at right back, who's been fantastic. You've got Gerald Quanta, who I think is going to be one of the best in the world when he gets older, because I think he's just unbelievably good.
When he gets older?
Yeah, well, he's like 19, 20, Quanta. He's young, Sam. When he gets old.
That's the way you said older. It, like you're a really old man. Like, when he gets older, he's going to be a really good boy.
He's going to... What else would I say it? When he grows up, what's that mean? He's already bigger than me. Mountain, this kid. He's unbelievable. He's going to be unbelievably good. So, yeah, we were, you know, it was for sure a second choice back line, and they kept Harlan largely quiet, right? Really, really good. Si is saying, what a player Quanta is. He is. Mm. He's an unbelievably good player. And you stick him next to Bradley and some of the others we've got coming through. Really, really good. So, yeah, Walter's saying, game of the season. I don't disagree, Walter. It was a brilliant game. And most of you are agreeing in the chat that it was a pen all day long. I certainly thought it was. Anyway, we're going to move on reasonably quickly because I don't want to talk too much about this game from today. The game from today that I would like to discuss is Aston Villa 0, Spurs 4. And the reason I'd like to discuss that is not only to cheer you up a little bit.
I'm not unhappy.
No, okay, well, just make you happy then. I want you to talk about Spurs' demolition of Aston Villa at Villa Park and how good they were, because, you know, I've only seen the highlights and it looked unreal. But these two teams are high on the agenda for game week 29, for the blank game week. And just to put that into context, here are the fixtures for blank game week 29. Most of you will know this, right? None of you are living under a rock. Spurs, according to the fixture difficulty rating ticker, are at the bottom there with Fulham away, which I guess is a tricky fixture. But for sure, after today's performance, we're going to be targeting Spurs. Aston Villa are in there as well. There's the West Ham game at home to Aston Villa. Brentford at the top against Burnley. So we'll talk about all these teams a bit more than we do the other teams that are playing in game week 28. But with Villa and Spurs both in there, it makes absolute sense to talk about this game, Villa 0, Spurs 4 from today. So I've got plenty of thoughts, not least about John McGinn, which we'll come to in a second.
More on John McGinn in a minute.
But what do you think?
I mean, the first half was... It was a tactical game, the first half. Neither side was particularly great. Both sides looked relatively comfortable. There were no real attempts on goal. It was basically played in the middle of the park. So not much to really learn from the first half, I'd say, from particularly when we're thinking ahead to next week. But what I will say is that second half, I don't know what Postecoglou says at half time. Every week, Spurs come out after half-time and they are different. Mm. And they came out after half-time and Dragosan was training quite seriously at half-time, to the point where the pundits were like, it looks like he's going to come on.
Clearly Van der Ven not quite right.
Yeah. So then they all came back out and we were all like, oh, well, maybe they were just, putting him through his paces or something. Van der Ven makes the one tackle as Aston Villa attacked, and then is like, no, I'm not. And I do think it was precautionary from him, because he walked off the pitch fine. As I said at the beginning of the stream, he came back on and he celebrated with the team, and I was watching very closely the celebrations from him.
Yeah.
And he was moving fine. So I'm hoping it's precautionary. I'm not going to have him on my free hit team, spoiler alert.
No.
So hopefully he comes back in for game week 30 anyway, and he'll be fit and available. The thing is, from a Spurs defensive perspective, is that Aston Villa never really looked likely to score. Now, in part, that was because they spent a large portion of the game playing with 10. But even when they did go close, and Ollie Watkins had one opportunity, he was offside, and maybe he knows it, but he's through on goal and he squares it rather than taking the shot, which is weird from a Watkins perspective. And the Spurs clean sheet sticks for the first time since game week 17.
Is that right? First cleanie since 17?
Yeah. So I was really shocked to see it.
Your defender gets injured.
Am I? Yeah. Well, I was... Well, I benched him anyway because I was expecting Watkins to score. I benched him for Zabani, so, you know, that went well. actually, it did go well because he got two and Van der Ven will have got one because he went off at half-time just after. But yeah, it was one of those. I think what this game I was hoping would confirm how I was going to invest in both of these two sides, and I think it sort of did.
Yeah.
So I thought this was the best game we've seen from James Maddison since his return from injury. He hasn't been...
I sat here, well, I keep saying I sat here last week. We didn't sit here last week. It must have been on the Ohana podcast. I said, is Maddison really yet kind of up to match fitness? Is he a bit sort of sticky still? But you reckon this game showed that he's back?
This game was the first time I've watched him and gone...
Fair play.
You
know, okay, fair play.
You look. And to be fair, I could have scored. I mean, he took it well, but it was the ball in from Pape Sarr was excellent. It was perfectly where he wanted him. I think
give him a bit more credit. He has to get ahead of his man, Madison.
He has to get ahead of his man, but I think the ball from Pape Sarr is really good.
Ball, yeah.
It's in the right position. It's at the right pace. It lands perfectly for him. He's got to beat his man, but once he beats the man, it's a nice goal. That gets us started. Then very quickly, it's two from Brennan Johnson who gets the start. Now, Brennan
ticking over, isn't he? He's cooking a little bit, just going low-key, doing quite well.
Well, I think people have been ignoring him in FPL because he hasn't had a start for a couple of weeks. Because obviously, since Maddison and Son have been back, there's been that kind of conflict as to, well, what does Postecoglou do? Because he's obviously got Werner as well and Kulusevski.
Well, I want to ask you about this because going into next week, into the free hit, Spurs look like a team we're obviously going to invest in. For sure, everyone's going to have Son, right? Son is going to be...
He'll be the captain for
part
most
of the template.
People, yeah.
Most people are captain him. I actually think rather, whether you're free-hitting or not, Son is a must-have at the minute. He just looks so, so good. He's top for BPS amongst everybody so far this game week and looks sensational in his form. But I was looking at whether I could maybe have Werner or Brennan Johnson or Kulusevski as a bit of a differential on my free-hit 29 rather than kind of going... Porro, Maddison, Son, which is probably the three I'm looking like I'll go for. But with Brennan and Werner and Kulusevski kind of sharing minutes this weekend, it sort of put me off a little bit taking that risk.
No.
Which do you think is the most nailed on out of those three? Or who's the better pick?
Well, Kulusevski's the most nailed.
Right.
He will start because that's what he likes to do with him. He likes him on that side. And his relationship down that wing... with Porro works really nicely. The two of them interchange really well. I'm going to go the Spurs attacking treble up next week. I'm going to not have a defender because I actually think the Fulham are perfectly capable of scoring at home.
Okay.
You know, I don't necessarily think that there's a clean sheet for Spurs in this one.
Okay.
Although I didn't think there was one against Aston Villa either. But, you know, I think that there's plenty of scope. And I think the way this game week looks... Spurs feel like the most likely team to score multiple goals.
Okay.
So Maddison and Son, I think, for me are easy locks. Okay. So then the question is, basically, of the three that you've just mentioned, is it Werner, is it Brennan, or is it Kulusevski?
Who are you thinking?
Brennan.
You're thinking Brennan Johnson.
So
okay, interesting.
I think what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, and I love it from Brennan, is that he played consistently. And I know we argued a little bit about Brennan Johnson in the earlier part. Because I thought, and I still think, that he was playing really well and was unlucky to lose his spot. Mm. Because he'd been doing really well. And of course, it was just a piling up of other things. Maddison coming back from injury, Son coming back from the Asian Cup, Werner playing quite well out on that side. Of course, then with Richarlison injured and Son playing in the middle. All of that kind of stuff had meant that Johnson lost his spot. But what I love from him is that he didn't lose his spot and then just go...
He wants to be in that side. Yeah.
And when he's been coming off the bench, he's returned every time.
Yeah,
really, really good returns from him, making such a difference, which is why I wasn't surprised to see him named in the team sheet today, because he's really fought every game he's come on. And then, of course, today goes and gets another goal, adds to his attacking returns tally for the season. I think of all of them today, they all played well. I thought Werner, when he came on, was really good, making good runs. Suddenly looks like he's...
got that monkey off his back of the goal, hasn't he, last
week?
Yeah,
but also I think feels part of something now. I think in the past, when he first arrived, it was a bit like, you know, oh, I've been here before, you know, I don't know if I feel loved yet.
Yeah,
whereas today, it was one of my favourite moments of the day, actually, was when he scored and the whole of the Spurs fans in the crowd were all just singing his name.
Mm.
And his little face lit up like a beacon. And I was like, yeah, you see, you feel... And I think last week when he scored, the rest of the team didn't celebrate. And it wasn't because they didn't want to celebrate with him. It was because that was 1-1. So it was like, carry on, move. Whereas now I think it was today, we were comfortable, we could celebrate that properly with him and he enjoyed that. I think it's tight between those two. But I think Brennan gets the start again next week.
Well, George Day's in the chat. He agrees with you. He said, if I could treble, I'd have Madison, Son and Johnson. Yeah, those are the three to have. I'm not sure I'm going to do that. I'm not sure I'm going to do it. We'll talk about our free hits later on. I don't mind Spurs for a clean sheet against Fulham. There was a lot of XG underachievements by Fulham this week. So just notice Solanke top, as I mentioned before. Then the next three is Paulinho, Muniz and Harry Wilson. So I haven't seen the highlights of this game, but they probably should have had a goal. Probably should have had a goal between them, those three, right? Just for being XG underachievers. I'm probably going to have Porro, you know. Probably.
Well, this is a week, I think, where if you could have five Spurs players, you would.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Because I just think that there's goals for Spurs. I don't think that they'll clean sheet. I think Muniz and that Fulham attack has got goals in them, as we can see from the stats there. We'll have to watch the Fulham highlights to see exactly what that looked like. But
And what about Villa then, from that perspective? Because are they going to struggle now without John McGinn a little bit? Because I have to say, when I first saw that red card, I thought, that's nasty. Every time I see it, I think it gets worse and worse and worse. I think it's a horrific tackle from John McGinn.
It's a frustrated.
I don't
John
care
McGinn.
How frustrated.
No,
you are.
No, it's a horrible.
You can't just go and wipe somebody out.
No,
like
I
that.
Agree.
Disgusting.
It's a horrible challenge. He's very, very lucky that he doesn't really badly injure Udogie, because Udogie gets up really angry and then immediately goes back down. And I was like, oh God.
Yeah.
Be all right. And he thankfully was, and he played on and it was all fine.
What blows my mind is that Villa are 2-0 down at the time. There is still time in the game when he gets sent off to come back into that game if he keeps his head. But he doesn't. They keep playing the way that they keep playing. A bit like, what was the game where Spurs did the same thing and ended up getting battered because they kept getting in behind every
Chelsea.
Single time? Chelsea. And Villa did the same thing. It's like, oh, we're a man down, but we'll still push high. And then for Son, that was absolutely perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with the was 100% a red card for me. It was a horrible tackle.
Oh, yeah.
It was a loss of... It was a real frustration moment from him. He just lost his mind. He didn't go for the ball at all. He just took the player out. That
Villa
was
got
it.
A bit of a thing about playing you, love, haven't they? And I remember Matty Cash going in a bit, like, heavy and injuring... Was it Madison or somebody? I don't know, earlier on in the season. I feel like they just go out to beat you up and just...
No, Matt Cash did Bentancur on the day he first started after his injury and been out for all that time.
Yeah, that was it.
And
that
I wanted
it.
To send someone round, didn't I? I was very upset with him.
I remember.
I think the thing for me is that John McGinn is such an important part of that Aston Villa team.
He is, right, yeah.
Now, all right, in FPL, we don't talk about John McGinn because in reality... he's not worth talking about, really. I mean, he's actually doing a lot better this year in FPL than he did last year.
There's
but still,
assets
there's
discuss,
far better assets. But what he does, but he is so important to that team, particularly when they're without people like Mings at the back. You need that leadership in the middle and you need that control. And when you lose a player like that...
He's the enforcer in there, isn't he?
Yeah. And so, of course, that had a catastrophic impact on them for the rest of this game, because one, they had to play with 10 men, and two, they were without the leader in the middle. So that allowed Spurs to go and quite comfortably win the game, and probably actually Spurs could have won it by another couple of goals, but it ends up being a good result. From a Villa perspective moving forwards, it does kind of leave me in a quandary, because I was not expecting this. So when I was thinking about my free hit for next week earlier on this week, my full intention was to treble up on Villa and Spurs, and I was kind of watching this game going, right, there's going to be goals on both sides. Yeah. Which three players am I going to go for? Because West Ham are terrible defensively, Areola. And Spurs aren't also that great defensively. What's come out of this game is Spurs have kept a clean sheet and Aston Villa have been poor. So now I'm looking at it going, well, I'm still going to have Watkins because I think you have to. But the question mark is then over who do you have instead, like as well as Watkins? Because there wasn't anybody massively today that put their hands up and said, I'd want to be part of it. Like, Moreno doesn't start, it's Luca Dean. But then...
Yeah, that's a headache for me, coming back out into 30, because I've got him, Moreno. Yeah. I benched him this week, didn't fancy a clean sheet. But coming out into 30, there's a 5.2, 5.3 million rotation risk I've got to deal with, right?
Yeah.
Which I will deal with, right?
And on the other side, there's Cash, who I didn't think had the best game today either. Like, I think that there are a number of assets there that maybe you would have in the past gone, right, I'll get an Aston Villa defensive asset, be it Luca Dean or Moreno, depending on who's going to start, but I don't go either of them on a free hit because you don't know which one's going to start. So maybe if you want to go for a defender, you have to go cash. But then West Ham, for their sins, are scoring goals. So, and given that they've conceded four here against us, I would think that West Ham could score two.
Yeah.
So then it comes down to a choice between Douglas Luiz and probably Leon Bailey is the only other two options, but I'm not that inspired by either of them.
Well, as Adam Stevo is saying in the chat, Luiz is probably going to be the one that drops back to fill McGinn's position, you'd think.
Yes. You'd think, right? And he's also the really, I mean, he has got things away from home, but really, it's his home form that you want Douglas Luiz for. So if we go away to West Ham, with him sitting deeper in an away fixture, that's not anything that you want from an FPL perspective, no. Which basically just leaves you with Leon Bailey. So then you're kind of like, well, really, is there value in that?
Yeah. And even he himself, I like him because I think he's having a good season. But who's the other lad that gets rotated with him? Is it Diaby?
Yeah.
Is he fit, Diaby? I don't
know. Yeah, he was on the bench today.
If he is, then maybe he comes on and gets some minutes. I don't know. So, yeah, well, listen, let's park the Villa and Spurs conversation for just a second because we'll have more of it as we show our free hit teams later on. Let's just whiz through some of these game stems. The ones that are interesting for us for game week 29. Let's do West Ham 2, Burnley 2 because, again, West Ham at home against Burnley, you're like, well, home win, Areola clean sheet, et cetera, et cetera. he ain't going to score many better goals than that for Fana, for Burnley. I mean, it was an absolute belt. I think he's on loan there, isn't he? I mean, if you haven't seen this goal, guys, you have to go and see it. It's goal of the month. It's unbelievable strike. So if the Areola clean sheet is going to go, I'd prefer it to go like to a worldie than to a tap in, let's say.
I'd prefer it didn't go at all, thanks.
It's quite. But West Ham, you know, they are going to be on radar for us because their fixture, let's just go back to it.
It's Aston Villa.
They are the ones playing Aston Villa. Yeah. At home as well. So it's going to be at West Ham against a Villa team that are looking leggy. No McGinn. Just conceded four to Spurs.
One of the things that they said in the Spurs commentary today was, today I think what they said was Spurs' 41st match. No, it was Aston Villa's 41st match of the season.
Yeah, they're starting to run out of steam a bit, you think?
And Spurs can only play 41 matches this season.
Interesting.
So,
okay, interesting.
You know, when you think, and I thought that was interesting at the time because I was like, you see, now that for me is a massive thing, right? So they've already played 41 matches. They've got another European match to play midweek next week, which we also shouldn't forget about because that comes
That's true. Forgot about that.
Comes ahead of the free hit for both of these two sides, actually, West Ham and Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Both of them in European action again.
They've got some work to do, haven't they? West Ham definitely are, because they were 1-0 against Freiburg. I can't remember the Villa result.
No, I can't remember the Villa result either. But I think they've got work to do as well.
Right.
I mean, look, nothing's settled, is it? So they're going to have to go and win those games. Now, obviously, McGinn will be able to play in that. He won't be suspended for that one. That might make a difference to them there. But I think, you know, when you consider it, we saw it with Brighton, didn't we, the last couple of weeks? They had a good result today, but in the past, they've looked leggy, they've looked off it.
Yep.
And it does make a difference, all of these additional matches. And when you're coming up against teams that have played significantly fewer matches, that makes a real difference to you. Now, obviously, these two both in European actions, so maybe it's less of an impact in this game that they're going to play against each other.
0-0 with Ajax, the chat saying, was the Villa result. So, yeah, work to do for both these teams in midweek before they get into 29.
I think West Ham are interesting from an attacking perspective more than they are a defensive one because we're just not seeing the clean sheets. And I don't think that there's anyone really defensively. Like, even I had Zouma in my scout squad pick for this week because it was against Burnley. He didn't even play. Like, it's difficult to know what's happening with them defensively. But in the middle, you've got options with Pacatar, who obviously gets a goal today.
Pens, Pacatar?
Think so. Hasn't Bowen taken them before?
No, I don't think so. Ward-Prowse has.
Oh, James Ward-Prowse. Well, he went off at half-time today.
It's him or Pacatar, isn't it, on pens?
Yeah, James Ward-Prowse went off at half-time today, so I don't think he's an option at all, even on free hit. Pacatar, Kudos, Bowen, they're your options, I think, from West Ham. And it's how many of them do you want to go with? Because arguably, without John McGinn, maybe there's more incentive to go with a bit more West Ham attack.
Yeah, potentially. Well, yeah, listen, loads to be discussed. I think Bowen and Pacatar, I can see them being in the team.
Bowen.
I can see them being in the team. Bowen, for sure, is going to be in game week 29. outside of that, I think it's worth having a bit of a punt. I agree with you, it's probably not defensively, although we'll look at my free hit in a minute, my draft, and there is a defence, a West Ham defence in
there. It's not Areola, is it?
Spoiler alert, it is not bloody Areola, that's for sure. Let's just do a quick chat on Arsenal versus Brentford.
Because Brentford do play next week.
Mainly because Brentford do play next week. So Brentford's fixture, let's just so I keep flashing this up, is arguably the best of the lot, right? Burnley away. Despite the fact that Burnley have got, you know, a result against West Ham this weekend, I still think you'd back Tony and co to do pretty well up at Turf Moor.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking from a Brentford perspective then, coming into blank game week 29?
Well, Vitter is actually in better form than Tony.
Well, I was just about to say that. I keep saying Tony and co. Vitter's looking all right, isn't he?
He's looking all right. I mean, Ramsdale gifts him the goal in a way that you can't believe.
Yeah.
We do have to consider that. But he is coming up against that Burnley defence, who will gift him plenty of opportunities. So there's those two. There was a vague mumbling after the pressers that there might be an outside chance of Mbeumo being available as well. That'd be interesting.
Too much of a risk, though, isn't it? I think. I know
on
that...
a free hit, is it? If on Friday, in the presser, Frank says...
Mbeumo's back.
He's back and he's fit and I'm going to start him. You would go there on a free hit.
If Thomas Frank is a sensible manager, he's not going to rush Mbeumo back and start him.
They've been
at Turf Moor. At best, he starts on the bench. Mbeumo, don't give me that Mbeumo. It's rubbish. I think Tony and Visser, maybe. Flecken, I think, is going to be popular.
Reguilón would be popular. He would have been popular.
Right.
And again, it's going to depend on what Frank says, doesn't it? Because
fitness, right?
You should be a clean sheet there against Burnley. Yeah. But it was a hamstring injury, a low-level, apparently, hamstring injury that kept him out of this one. Now, Reguilón does have a history of this. He is injury-prone.
Yeah.
I know. I've had him in at Spurs for a long, long time. I know that he's injury-prone. But if it's a low-level one, then maybe there's an opportunity where he might be back. Maybe it's a bit of a, look, we don't expect to go and keep a clean sheet against Arsenal anyway, so let's not risk you in this one.
And here's a good question from Scott. Thank you, Scott Schrager, the OG, in with a good question. Non-free hitters, Sam. If you want to bring Tony in for this game, who do you do that for?
Oh.
Because Watkins and Solanke, surely you're going to want them back for game week 30. Let's just have a quick contextual look at that. I've got this somewhere as well. I've got all the slides tonight, Sam.
Well, yeah, because, you know, as they come out... As they come out, Solanke, arguably, you want to hold between now and literally the end of the season, because their fixtures, if you run the fixture ticker, if you delete out the blank game week and run the fixture ticker on Scout right the way through to game week 38.
Everton, Palace, Luton, he comes out in, so you're keeping Solanke.
Yeah, but if you run the fixture ticker for Bournemouth right the way through till the end of the season, there is no red on it. It's really nice. So arguably, Solanke is like a long-term hold unless something happens to him in the next couple of weeks. I think you're holding Watkins. I appreciate that he blanked against Spurs today, but that's he had before this had three double digit holds in the last five. Like, he was on really good form. I don't think that this result against Spurs, as much as I'd like to say, oh, that's them dead in the water, I don't think it will be. They're still in pole position for the Champions League spot. They've got a fantastic manager in Unai Emery, who's been doing really good things for them. And I think Watkins is still critical. So I wouldn't want to sell him either. And that's the problem.
A couple of difficult away games on the horizon for them, though. City away in 31 and then Arsenal away in 33. So that's not an easy running, is it? Despite the home games looking all right.
But you're not going to sell Watkins for game week 29 if you're not free hitting because he's got the fixture.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. It's a tricky one.
You'd have to sell Haaland and then maybe do something different in game week 31. Maybe you'd have to ride without Haaland for the game against Arsenal in 30 and then bring him back in for 31.
Yeah. I don't think you're going without Tony in the free hit. I think you're having him just because he's on the pen. Do you see that shot he had from like halfway inside the Arsenal half that Ramsdale credit to Ramsdale, did well to save it. But what an effort.
But if you were not free hitting, would you go without Tony?
I think I would and get behind the sofa. Yeah, because I just think that front three, I think, is kind of locked now between now and the end of the season, probably.
Yeah.
The only one is Watkins, really. If he starts to sort of... If they, it's not really him, is it? Because his form's been unbelievable. If they, as a team, Villa, start dropping off, as we're suggesting they might...
Well, I think they're struggling the next three without McGinn.
Let's see how they play. Yeah, let's see how they play. But Tony and Flecken, for sure, are going to be popular. that's it. I don't want to talk any more about the games. Let's go on to our scores for game week 28, and then we'll talk about free hit drafts for 29. here's my score for game week 28.
Hang on, stop.
What?
What colour's that arrow?
That's a green arrow. Yeah.
Shut up.
Well, listen, it's as simple as have you got Son or not. It's as simple as have you got Son or not. And thankfully, I have, because I bought him in for De Bruyne last week. Apart from Son, it is an absolute shower of rubbish.
Beep.
It is honestly rubbish. The Areola clean sheet goes, which I thought was locked in. The Zabani clean sheet is gone, which I thought was locked in. Solanke captain, obviously, with the zero. I couldn't believe it when you turned around to me when we were walking through St Albans High Street on Saturday and you said, Solanke's missed a penalty. I could not believe it. And then I read that he slipped over.
Yeah, fell
when
over.
He hit it.
Fell over.
Honestly, couldn't believe it. I was kind of happy in the end that Haaland and Foden blank, because that means Liverpool got a result, so I'm all right with that. I've got Palmer to play. I've got Zabani and Doherty and Solanke still to play. So a few still to play, but it's just Son. It's just Son. There's nothing else you can say about it. It's just Son. 31 points, a small green arrow, up 6% to 59k. Whatever. I've got Son. That's the conclusion. You haven't, and that's the difference. It's just that I've got Son and you haven't, and that's the difference, right? So De Bruyne has come in with a 6, but everything else is the same as everybody else. Utter rubbish for you. Talk us through it.
Well, that was a wonderful, wonderful...
Well, it's the same for everybody, Sam. There's no point me sugarcoating game week 28. It's been utter crap. Hasn't it? Everyone's in the same boat, unless you've got Son captain.
Look, it's one of those game weeks, isn't it? And you have them sometimes in FPL. I didn't have Son. And let's get into this, because I had a straight choice this week between Son and Bowen. And there was a number of reasons why I went for Bowen over Son. The first one was the fixture. That played a massive part in it because it was Burnley and Son had Aston Villa, and I did not anticipate Aston Villa being what happened today happening at all.
Yep.
I thought there'd be goals for both sides, but I didn't see us going 4. So that played a part in it. The second big part in it is that I'm thinking beyond game week 29 and I'm thinking about, where's my route to Salah? Like in the back of my head is constantly the thought of Salah. So I need the budget for Salah. So,
and what is your route to Salah for game week? Game week 30, I assume, for Brighton at home.
Yes. So right. KDB to Salah is my plan.
Okay.
So I need the extra money sitting there in order to be able to do that. So the best thing for me to do last week was to sell Pascal Gross, who gets an assist, because I wasn't going to play him anyway, because Bowen was going to come in. So whoever I sold,
I was actually
Bowen,
surprised at that.
What? That I sold Gross? Well, the only other option I had was to sell
surprised
Neto.
Surprised you did that, to be honest.
I was not prepared to sell KDB, big game Kev, not prepared to sell him.
Mm.
So the only other option I had was to sell Neto. And I was very tight on both of them, but Neto's significantly cheaper than Gross. So in order to have the budget for Salah ready, given I wasn't playing either of them anyway, whoever I didn't sell was going to be benched. So whatever happened this week...
Brighton at home to Forest, and you're like, even on the Ohana on Thursday, we're like, I'm benching Gross. I'm like, oh, God,
yeah, but they were so.
Like that.
Well, no. That,
and
no,
Brighton
but,
were crap, right? From what I've seen, Brighton were rubbish, right? But
they
get the win and he gets the assist.
Yeah,
he probably got
a
bonus as well, didn't he?
He got 3. But they were so bad. They were so, so bad. Today, in Europe, the last couple of weeks, they've been so bad. And I know that he's been good, but you can't be the only good person in a team. And I needed to sell him at some point. It was either he gets sold this week or he gets sold in 30.
All right.
So he went this week.
I can get on board with the I bought Bowen over Son, just about. But the selling Gross, when he's been such a good differential, because you want differentials. And you got rid of probably your strongest one at home to Forest.
I disagree, because in game week 30, do I want him to play against Liverpool? Absolutely not. So I was going to sell him next time anyway, right, because I need those midfield fire spots have to be working all the time. So next time around, Neto will be downgraded and KDB will become Salah. The other big thing for me with Son was, as a Spurs fan, Richarlison's due back probably next week, after the free hit. That means Son's more
not going to rush him back the way you're playing, is he? Been absolutely brilliant without him.
We're absolutely brilliant with him.
Well, it's going to take a hell of a crowbar to get Sonny back to that left-hand side. Because in the middle of the park, for the last two games that I've watched from him, he's been electric.
but so was Richarlison in that spot.
Not the way Sonny is.
Disagree.
All right.
I think that there is enough doubt when Richarlison's back about who plays where in that Spurs team that I think, and I'm also conscious that I'm going to want Haaland. I'm definitely have to have Sacco even with the blank this time around. Salah's got to come back in. There's players in there that you want to hold. I'm not going to be prepared to sell Watkins either. So in order to make budgets work, there has to be some give and take. And I think it could be with Son and going for a different Spurs, cheaper midfielder option instead. So that was part of the reason for going for Bowen this time, because I felt like I had to have Bowen for this week. I mean, yes, I could have gone for a Kudos or a Pakatar instead, and they would have been cheaper options. But I felt like Bowen was the right option against Burnley. I'm going to have Son anyway for 29, so that made me feel better. And then coming into the Luton game, the plan was that Neto would become a Spurs player, KDB would become Salah, and we'd be set for the Luton game and the Brighton game for them 2 and 30. And I still stand by that plan. It's just that the game week's gone to absolute poo. But Palmer still got to go, and he's got a home fixture against a Newcastle defence that I don't trust, and Trippier's not going to play. And then Doughty, Solanke, Zabani, whatever they do, is a bonus. Yeah.
All right, fair enough. I will bow to your greater knowledge on Spurs, but I just think Son in the nine is just too good. I just think he's too good not to play there. And if that means Richarlison has to go left, or if it means...
Richarlison won't go left.
Or will it be a sub then? Because, listen, Sonny is too good. He's your best player by a country mile. And if you've got any ambitions to get into fourth, that's where he's got to play. I might be wrong. And I probably am, because it's your team, right? But I just think Son is too good not to be nine.
I don't think we need him in the nine.
And to that end, in FPL, I think you get him. You absolutely get him. And I understand Bowen playing Burnley, but Son is in a better team, and he's a better player than Bowen. So anyway, he's a must-have, Son. In my opinion, he's a must-have. I've been, early on in the season, I didn't have him, and I have Richarlison instead. And it largely worked out for me, but it was horrible. It was horrible watching Spurs games, not owning Son. So as soon as he come back, especially as it coincided with Richie being injured, I was like, he's in for me. No doubt about it.
But what's going to happen with your team in game week 30? How are you getting Salah?
I can tell you how I'm going to get Salah. Let's go back to my team. So with my team, I took some money out of Estupiñán, who ends up getting a clean sheet this week.
Yeah, of course he did.
Typical.
So I sold
Estupiñán for Zabani for 4.4.
Yeah.
I actually have exact money at the moment to do Alex Moreno to Gusto.
Okay.
And then, yes, Son to Salah, if I wanted to do that. Otherwise, I can do anything else, right? I could maybe move... Well, it's going to be very difficult to move anyone other than Son, but...
My point, is there has to be sacrifices. And I think at Spurs, that they are the one team that I would compromise the midfielder on to afford the premiums in the other teams.
Okay. All right.
And I'm a Spurs fan saying that.
Yeah. All right. Let's have a look at our free hit teams then for game week 29.
Bear in mind, because these are our first drafts.
First drafts. And what's interesting about this is that, I don't know if you've seen mine, because
I don't think
I sent it over. You sent me yours over so I could compile this slide that you're about to see, guys. But I saw it like 5 minutes before coming on stream, so I've not had time to digest it. So we haven't seen each other's free hit teams, is what I'm saying. So if there are players in there that we both have...
That's chance,
but we both like them. But okay. There will be some discussion. This is your free hit team then for game week 29.
Let me bring them back.
By the way, chances of you playing the chip next week? You've locked
100%.
In? It's going to happen now. Okay, same for me. I'm locked into 29. It's going to happen. I haven't hit it yet, but I will. Your game week 29 free hit team, I can see some similarities between yours and mine, but talk me through your thinking. There's the three Spurs midfielders, as you mentioned before.
Yeah. Heavily invested in the Spurs midfield because... why not? Like, I think we will score goals, and I like the way that these three are playing at the moment. So, Sam, Maddison, Johnson, locked. Planning, I think, to play a midfield five with this team. So,
three West Ham,
3-5-2, I think, is currently the plan. So, the two West Ham boys, I think, we'll see how they play in Europe in midweek.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Whether this sticks, but currently, Bowen and Kudos could be Bowen and Pakatar. I mean, look, money's no object with this free hit team. So can be.
Yeah, I think
be.
Mine's got about 14 million in the bank.
I think when I looked, it was something like 15 million or something stupid. Right? So yeah, can go anywhere. Bowen Kudos at the moment, but could be Kudos Pakatar, could be Bowen Pakatar. There's so many choices there, but
yeah,
that's currently the plan. The front three is interesting because Tony Morris-Watkins feels template. I do sort of like the Muniz pick instead of Morris because I do think Fulham will score against Spurs. And if they do...
Van der Ven's not fit.
Although I do think Dragosan had a great game today.
Yeah.
But I do think Fulham will score against us and I do trust Fulham more than I trust Luton.
Who takes the pens for Fulham?
Good question. I don't know. Have they had one recently?
Guys, tell us in the chat who takes the pens. The reason I say that is because the only time I've ever seen Dragosan play, he's aggressive. He's an aggressive centre-half. There's nothing wrong with that. But I smell a Fulham penalty. Somebody can tell me in the chat who takes it.
Why have you said that?
Because that...
You're trying to upset me.
It's just an observation of watching Dragosan. Yeah. He's come on and
he was good today.
He puts
really
himself
good
about a bit, right?
Yeah, you didn't see the game today. It was actually really good today. Played really well. And then a back three. Reguilón's included fitness pending. Just because I think Brentford have the nicest fixture of the double. So Flecken's there because Burnley don't generally score. I've got Reguilón because Burnley don't generally score and Reguilón has got the attacking threat. But obviously if he's ruled out or is unlikely to play, then I will probably move for a different
Brentford defender or different defender?
Different Brentford defender, probably.
Which?
Don't know. Collins, maybe. Unless Mbeumo is like suddenly ruled fit.
I would love for you to go for Mbeumo.
Honestly, if Frank says Mbeumo's fit and I'm going to start him, I'll 100% get him.
He's not going to say that, so okay.
But he might. He might be like Big Ange and just come out and tell the absolute truth at all times. Bit of truth serum in his coffee before.
The guys are saying it's either Willian or Andreas that takes the pens for Fulham. Yeah, I forgot about Willian.
Of course. Pereira. Yeah, so Reguilón could be somebody else, but probably just go move him to another Brentford defender. And then I'll probably...
Luca Dean? Rotation risk with Moreno?
Luca Dean's there because I mean, let's see. Again, it's another one. I probably get an Aston Villa defender, but I don't know who yet. Might be Matt Cash. Could play it safe and go Konza.
Okay.
But I'd probably bench him anyway. I think I'd play Doughty, Reguilón and Murillo, probably.
I love that even on a free hit, Charlie Taylor, he's in.
Why the hell not?
Because why wouldn't you?
Because Charlie Taylor's a legend. He's going to sit third sub, as always, Charlie Taylor, third sub.
Brilliant.
So yeah, 3-5-2, probably... Dean could be anyone because he's going to get benched. So it's just need somebody that's going to start, which is why maybe you might be Konza instead. Martinez stays because, you know, why the hell not? Might as well have an expensive second
Murillo,
goalkeeper.
Talk to me about Murillo as your only Forest player.
Well, I quite like the Forest fixture, but then I was trying to kind of struggling to work out where I'd put my Forest players, to be honest. So I've ended up with him. Like, that's just where I landed. It's an interesting one, isn't it, with the free hit, I think, this week? Because, like, obviously, this is just a first draft, and it's based on what I've seen this weekend. I didn't watch, and I haven't seen the highlights from Fulham. From Forest.
From Forest,
and so, therefore, it's difficult. Because my first thought was, I'll just get Gibbs-White. But then
Ilanga, there's some options there.
Yeah, there's some options there. And that was my first thought was, I'll just get Gibbs-White. But then I was like, I feel like I need to sit and watch the Forest highlights from the weekend and really consider which Forest options
are the best
ones. I
think that's going to be a very long piece of video. Brighton 1, not Forest 0, from what I saw on Twitter. I think that is going to be a very quick highlights package.
Oh, I suspect so. But that's what I want to do, is sit down and watch that highlights fixture on the back of watching Spurs again, because obviously that will cheer me right up. But yeah, I think I want more Forest in there probably, but don't quite know which one I want. So Elanga's a good pick, I think. Muniz from Fulham is a good pick. These are players I don't yet have in there. So I need to just sit really carefully and consider it. I think I'm probably too heavily invested in West Ham.
Okay.
Probably just end up with one of those midfielders.
What, just Bowen and Kudos?
Yeah.
Home to a Villa team that are out of sorts.
Well, that's the thing, isn't
it? One would argue that you might be underinvested in West Ham.
Well, maybe. But so this is the thing. At the beginning of the weekend, I was like, I'll just have Bowen on a free hit. Now, suddenly, I'm like, I'm going to have Bowen and Kudos. And then, but then again, I haven't watched West Ham yet. So I want to sit down and watch them against Burnley and work out exactly how I'm investing there. Plus, I've obviously got the extra fixtures for West Ham and West Ham and Villa in midweek. And they, I think, will be vital in deciding who makes it in the free hit.
Yeah, John Bevan and a couple of others in the chat. Good point. Alanga didn't start this week, and good point. And
then, oh, did he not?
John then goes on to say, Chris Wood, what could go wrong? Yeah, I love it. I love it. Chris Wood on the free
Why
hit.
Did Alanga not start? Benched?
Don't know. Benched. Yeah, benched. So we'll, you know, let's wait and
so
see what happened
unfit,
there.
So not unfit, just benched?
I think just benched, yeah, I think. Nigel's saying, yeah, don't overlook Moniz. He's the one, actually.
I think so.
He's the one.
I think he'll be in instead of Morris. For me,
because if I look at Tony Morris Watkins, yeah, okay, you can't argue with that as a front three,
but boring.
Well, but it's not though, is it? You say that, but Tony and Morris, you've got to think about combined EO.
No,
right?
I know that, I get that.
But it is boring because in our little Twitter sphere, FPL
yeah,
template,
yeah,
it'll be template,
you're
but
right.
It won't be in against the masses.
No, you're right, but I do think that Munez is a better pick. The Morris.
I don't know if he's a better pick. It's just more differential than what Morris is going to be on the template, because most are going to go for Morris.
I think he's a better pick because he's a better player playing in a better team.
Bit unlucky again this week, wasn't he? 0.58 XG underachieved, so should have had something in
but
that
Munez
game.
But Munez was higher.
Who that?
Munez.
That was Munez?
Yeah.
That was Munez.
Oh, 0.58. Sorry, I thought you were talking about Morris.
That was
0.58. I think my front three, I think, will end up being Munez, and then it'll be Tony and Watkins.
Any love for Iwobi? Only simply because in the Fantasy Football Scout members area that we use every time we do a live stream here, guys,
here
I can tell you there it is. Fantasy Football
You're
Scout.
You're still using the old one.
Members
Why have you
area.
Not moved to the new one?
Can I tell you something controversial? I prefer this one.
Have you actually used the new one?
I've used it and I like this one better.
The new one?
Yeah. Yeah. You asked me, so I don't want to be derogatory about the company that you work for on air, but the old one is better.
The one that I built, this, you don't like?
I prefer this one.
Oh, we are going to have a domestic at the end of this stream.
Any love for Iwobi?
No, simply because, I don't want to speak to you again, ever.
Simply because on the Fantasy Football Scout members area, he is top for chances created there this week so far with 7. Next best is McNeil with 6, and then there's a bunch of people on 5. So it won't be top for chances created across the game week. No
maybe,
love?
Maybe, but you know, look, I'm on a Spurs bubble high at the moment, so I can't right. really. There will be Fulham players in. 100% there will be Fulham players in, because again, I don't trust the clean sheet from Spurs, which is why I'm not going for a Porro or somebody.
All right, well, this is your free hit. Let's switch over to mine. Let's see if there's any consistencies between the two. Immediately there is Son, Madison and Bowen in the middle, which mm-hmm. I think is going
to
be...
I can't read that. You might have to...
I can try and bring it a bit closer
to you. No, it's
you,
fine.
You
might just have to... Because I can't see it anyway.
Oh, I'll read it out then. So, and we should actually be reading these out for the podcasters anyway. My free hit for the podcasters is Trafford and Flecken in goal. I'll be playing Flecken. Porro, Doughty, Pau Torres, Ruslev, unless Reguilón's fit.
Yeah.
Koufal at the back.
Okay, so they're relatively similar in terms of the teams targeted.
Yeah.
Apart from Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone for Porro, Doughty and Koufal. Koufal is there because he can get the odd assist, right? He can get the odd assist. I don't fancy West Ham for a clean sheet. I've got to bench some of these players, right? So Koufal's probably going to be one of them. Because my back three is likely to be Porro, Doughty and Reguilón, maybe, if he's fit. Ruslev might bench him, actually, if Reguilón's not available. Then in midfield, I've got Elanga, because I need to see whether that was him being rested today or whether he's being rotated. If he's being rotated, obviously I've got to have a bit. I've got to look at it a bit differently, right? Then Bowen, Madison, Son. I have gone Leon Bailey in midfield, which is different to you. And then my front three is Tony, Watkins, and Morris, because I am being a bit boring and a bit template. Players that I like the look of, Morgan Gibbs-White could come in if I'm worried about Elanga. Because I don't want to go for the 3 Spurs in midfield. I just think there's too much risk with Johnson and with Werner on the back of today. So Son and Madders definitely. I would really like to go for one of those other two. But I think Porro is just, he's nailed. He'd get plenty of minutes. He'd get, you know, he can get assists on any given day. He's even got a shot on him, right? So I don't mind those 3 at Spurs. Which then frees up one of those midfield slots to go for somebody a little bit different. And Elanga or Gibbs-White. I'm not buzzing about that because it's Nottingham Forest, right? But still, Bailey I like just because on any given day you can get assists and goals, etc. Yeah, and that front three is what it is, right?
Yeah.
But Gibbs White and Muniz, maybe. Yeah. I think we were always going to get here in free hit game week 29 and put a team together that would have like Kufau, Roslev, Ilanga, Morris, and sit here and go, that ain't great, is it? It's not an amazing week to put an FPL team together, right? But you've got to know and you've got to understand that if you are free hitting in game week 29, you are going to be miles ahead of like the dude in Max's football team that shows me his squad and goes, what am I going to do with that? And he's got two players.
Yeah.
So it's going to give you a massive boost getting all these players in. You just know that it's not... You need to come to terms with the fact that it ain't going to be sexy, right? It's going to have Carlton Morris and Roslev and, you know...
Might be sexy Kurofal. If they bang.
Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe. But I still think it's the right... For my team, it's still the right strategy. And I haven't picked a captain yet, but I would be absolutely astounded if I don't go for Son.
I think free hit or not, Son's the captain.
I absolutely agree. Yeah, I absolutely agree. So there it is, guys. Those are the free hit drafts. Bowen, Maddison and Son look... And Doughty. And the front three.
No, the front two. Tony and Watkins are locked.
You've got a little bit of maybe that Morris and Muniz. It's up for debate over the course of the week.
Yeah.
I like it.
As obviously Luton have got to play again.
Yes, they have. Yeah, so anything can happen, right?
I mean, anything could happen.
Anything could happen. Yeah, anything could happen. Cool. There we go. That is it, guys. That is it for tonight's FPL family. Thank you very much for tuning in. Quick shout out to our friends over at Fantasy Football Scout. As I said before, we use the new members area over there as much as possible.
I don't understand what your issue is. We're going to talk about this afterwards.
I don't have an issue with it, darling. I'm sure lots of people.
I don't think you've used it.
I am nearly 40 years old. I'm old. I like what I like. I've been using the old Fantasy Football Scout members area for years. And I just like what I like.
The new one is exactly the same, but it's better, it's quicker, it looks nicer, it's got more stuff in it. It's still got that homepage. I had that homepage that you love. I had that specially built into the new one for you.
Whether you are using the new or the old members area, fantasyfootballscout.co.uk is the home of fantasy football. All the links are in the description below if you want to go and sign up there. Never too late to do it, even though we're in the final throes of the season. We've got a few game weeks still to go, and you are still going to get loads and loads of value out of signing up to Fantasy Football Scout.
Also, just a quick one. If you haven't already bought your ticket for Fest, I'm pretty sure they go up in price today, tomorrow.
Right.
I think today is the last day to buy them at the early bird price. So if you're thinking about coming to Fantasy Football Fest...
Shout out to Fest.
Shout out to those guys, because we'll be there. That is an amazing event. And it's at the new venue this year, which looks absolutely brilliant.
Down in Victoria, right? If I'm not mistaken. Vauxhall.
Go and... If you are thinking about coming and you want to get it at a... It's quite a big discount as well that it's on at the moment. Do it today, because tomorrow I believe it goes up in price.
Cool. All right. Tell everyone what's going on this week.
So you will see a little bit less of me, but not loads less of me this week. I'm back on off the bench again this week. Last week I stood in for Lee while he was away on business. This week I'm back with my partner in crime, Andy, also known as Sinaldo, who of course will be buzzing because he will have had Sonny.
He is going to be so all over it.
We're
going
to have
Sinaldo.
A very happy Andy and I on Tuesday. I'll just listen to him and nod. I'd be glad that Son did these things. So you better catch me on that on Tuesday. Obviously, the official pod will be back with Jules and Kelly and I on Thursday this week. We'll have our usual Ohana podcast for our patrons as well. Are you doing Fan Zone? You're doing Fan Zone on Friday.
I'm doing Fan Zone on Friday. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
If you're not in the UK, you'll be able to watch Fan Zone with Lee on Friday. We'll also do some stuff, I'm sure, there'll be interactions
in
and stuff to Bournemouth and all of that good stuff. Oh, and I forgot.
Go on.
I'm doing FPL Juice on Tuesday night.
Oh, yes. FPL Juice featuring you and Izzy Ellen are going to be on this week.
I believe so. I think it's Girls Night Out.
Girls Night Out on FPL Juice on Tuesday night.
I think it's me and Yells.
definitely one to look forward to. Guys, thank you very much for joining us tonight on FPL Family. Thank you for bearing with us at the beginning.
Hopefully we won't have as many tech issues as we do.
All of the crap that we had to deal with at the beginning there. Thank you so much to Simon, Nigel the Crab, for moderating last minute, sticking with us the whole night. Nigel, thank you, mate,
for doing
you know
that you're on mod duty forever now, don't
I'm not going to take him off of mod now. He can be mod forever because there was a lot of knobheads tonight in the chat, and Simon has dealt with them absolutely
well done,
brilliantly.
Thank
so thank you,
legend.
Mate. Much appreciated.
We'll buy you a beer at Fest.
I'm going to go away and learn how to use the Fantasy Football Scout new members area that Sam's created because it is amazing. Thank you all for joining us for what was a game week 28 to forget. Really was
Except
a game week 28 to forget.
We've got 2 weeks to go. 2 games
Except
to
go. We can't because there are still 2 games to go, and we will see you this time next Sunday when, game week 29, blank game week 29 will be, I think, underway. Are some of the games on the same day as the FA Cup? What's going on? Wow, when do these games actually get played?
No, they're playing at the weekend.
I think they do play at the weekend at the same time as the FA Cup. Right? Yeah. It's one of them weird weekends, isn't it? So we'll be back looking back at how 28 finished up, what the hell's going on in 29, and then how on earth do we go from game week 30 through to 38 at the end of the season. Cheers for joining us, guys. Leave us a like before you go. Hit subscribe if you're not already subscribed. We'll see you soon. Cheers.
Bye, everybody. Sports Social Podcast Network.